This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
Get a Casper mattress and get a great night's sleep. Try it for 100 nights risk-free. Go to casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code Glenn. Get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. Terms and conditions do apply.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Glad you're here. We have a look at the new Supreme Court justice. I shouldn't say new. The one that we're getting some rumbles from inside the White House, that is going to be possibly the guy that Trump nominates. Who he finally decides, I don't know. But if it's this guy, you're going to love it. We're going to start there. In fact, let's do that right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Glad you're here. We got news this morning from inside the White House that it looks like they may be close to nominating a Supreme Court justice. And if indeed our source is correct, this, we think, is going to be a really good thing. For anybody who said, I have to vote for Donald Trump just because of the Supreme Court, if he does indeed nominate this guy and it turns out to be, and he doesn't become a Justice Roberts on us, which I don't think, because he has a very long history. The Bushes have always nominated people who just didn't have a bad record. They didn't have any record. But they're very conservative, but they had no record. Well, they've been on the bench and they have no record. They're not conservatives. This guy has a long record of being a conservative, and Stu's been looking at him for the last couple of hours and can bring us up to speed on possibly the nominee that's going to be coming out of Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the source is not ours on who it is. It's Jonathan Carl, who is, you know, been very good reporter. He says, I expect Donald Trump to make his Supreme Court nomination early next week. Sources tell me Neil Gorsuch is the leading candidate. I got to admit, I don't know him other than...
Yeah, none of us knew. We called some people that we know and got the lowdown. Some people who have been doing their homework on all of these guys and asked what they thought. And Stu's been doing some extra homework himself. What have you found?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, he was appointed by George W. Bush in May 2006 to the Circuit Court of Appeals, the 10th Circuit. He gives some of his background. Hobby Lobby case, he wrote a concurrence, sided with Hobby Lobby. Another case, the Little Sisters of the Poor case that we talked about.
Remember that? That was the one where they had to provide birth control and...
All right. His point was the 10th Circuit has shown insufficient deference to the Little Sister's own articulation of the tenets of their religious beliefs. That position was, of course, vindicated by the Supreme Court later on. Mm-hmm. Simply put, in cases that closely divided his court and the Supreme Court, Gorsuch has shown himself to be an ardent defender of religious liberties, and which is big. I mean, that is one of the biggest things that we had worried about with some of the other nominees. He seems to be good on that one. Joined another dissent in which he disagreed with basically ruling on the correct side from our perspective about the government's ability to display Ten Commandments monument in a public park without accepting all of the other offers of donated monuments. Because someone wanted you have to do the satanic monument you have to put up. He agreed with that one, and so did the Supreme Court, by the way. Common thread of these cases is one that matters very deeply to conservatives, a sense that the government can permit public displays of religion and can accommodate deeply held religious views without either violating the religion clauses of the Constitution or destroying the effectiveness of government programs that occasionally run into religious objections. Scalia articulated very similar views. Gorsuch's opinions on these issues are quite thoughtful and demonstrate that he would be a natural successor to Scalia in adopting a pro-religion conception of the Establishment Clause. Very positive. Again, this is coming from SCOTUS blog, which is a neutral, it's not a liberal or conservative site. It's just a Supreme Court nerd establishment.
Tight, yeah.
criminal law is pretty good as well. This is one case. Federal law prohibits the knowing possession of a gun by a felon. Okay. This law has given rise to a debate about how to best read what does knowing mean, right? Does it mean that a felon possesses a gun, or does it mean, what if he doesn't know that he's a felon? For example, he has a minor thing in his past, which technically was a felony that he didn't realize. Does that mean he should be able to, does he violate
What's
that?
A minor felony?
They actually explain it in here.
Yeah, because I mean, a felony sounds pretty bad.
It's
something that should pop up on your radar.
Right, so here it says, does it apply whenever a felon knowingly possesses a gun, or must violators also know they have been convicted of a felony? This matters because lots of minor crimes might technically be felonies, and lots of dispositions that seem inconsequential because they involve no jail time might technically be felony convictions.
Yes. Okay. So I would agree that you would have to know you were a felon.
Right. And so does Gorsuch. He says he urged the Tenth Circuit to review its rule holding that it is enough to support a conviction that the defendant knew he possessed the gun, whether or not he knew he was a felon. This opinion is an example of Gorsuch's strong commitment to textualism and severe critique of using legislative history. I mean, that's a good one, particularly to make criminal what might otherwise be innocent.
So yeah, when he says right history. What did he say? Contextual history?
Yes, contextualism. Textualism and a severe critique of using legislative history.
Yeah, so this is a guy who's going to look at the meaning of the Constitution. So far, this guy sounds great.
Yeah, and again, here's at the end. It's worth noting this means that Gorsuch, just like Scalia, is sometimes willing to read criminal laws more narrowly in a way that disfavors the prosecution, especially when the Second Amendment or other constitutional protection is involved. That's great. Gorsuch, like Scalia, has not been a friendly vote for death penalty petitioners pursuing relief from their sentences. His position in death penalty cases is likely to be quite close to Scalia's. This one I thought was really interesting. Dormant Commerce Clause. The Dormant Commerce Clause. What an interesting thing if you're trying to increase the power of government. Not the Commerce Clause, but the Dormant Commerce Clause.
What is the Dormant Commerce Clause?
Great question. These doctrines treat the Commerce Clause not only as a grant of power to Congress to make laws regulating interstate commerce, but it's a kind of presumptive limitation on the power of states to make laws that either unduly burden or unfairly discriminate against interstate commerce. Because, as its name suggests, the Dormant Commerce Clause cannot actually be found in the text of the Constitution.
Right.
Scalia came around to the view that it should not be a thing and refused to endorse any future expansions of the doctrine.
It's not a thing. It's not in the...
Wouldn't that be great if they also came around to the... separation of church and state isn't a thing in the Constitution.
In the Constitution,
too?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking
awesome.
About. Are you talking about the separation of church and state, or the dormant wall separating church
dormant.
And state?
Right. There is a dormant wall.
One there.
Yeah.
Scalia talked about in 2015. The fundamental problem with our negative commerce clause cases is that the Constitution does not contain a negative commerce clause, which is a really good observation. And I love this at the end. Gorsuch, the potential judge, as talked about by John Carl from ABC, his opinions also reveal a measure of distrust towards unwritten constitutional provisions like the Dormant Commerce Clause.
As they kind of should.
He doesn't seem to really put a lot of weight on the thing that's not in the Constitution because it's not in the Constitution?
They're going to hate this guy.
I know, but that's great stuff, and that's as far as I've been able to get through so far as we've been doing this.
So how are you feeling about, do not project out just what he's done. Don't project what you feel about him
so far after
because of the election
days?
And what he did. Don't project out what he might do. The last few days.
And that's what we promised, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
We promised a clean slate and try to examine these things as they go.
Right.
It's really good
so far.
So far, really
good. Except with the caring about the stupid
crowd size
and Spicer going out and actually lying and picking a fight. Other than that.
Plus, I'm disgusted with Spicer as a pick for the White House press secretary. I think he's sucks so far.
I think he's really bad.
I think he's
but
really
anybody
bad.
Who is, I will tell you, in his
but
favor.
In that position, it's tough because we didn't like Gibbs. We didn't like Ernest.
Yeah.
We didn't like...
In his defense, any man who takes the strong position that he does against mm-hmm. Dippin' Dots is a good man.
It's an interesting... Because I mean, that is probably the best part about him so far.
Right. Now, you may not know... But he has taken a strong stand.
Well, now, wait a minute. I got to reevaluate yeah. Sean Spicer.
He says Dippin' Dots is not the ice cream of the future, and I happen to agree with him.
Oh, me too. This is like a smart man.
That's like a Jetsons future. That's an alternative universe future where Dippin' Dots... I don't believe I've ever had Dippin' Dots.
They've been the future of ice cream since 1970?
Yeah, they're maybe not. They're not. It's not actually even ice cream.
The future is here, and they're not it.
This story from the AV Club lines out the lines of this battle. First briefing served as a trial by fire for Spicer himself. Could he get through the entire 5-minute speech to the press without slipping into an attack on his arch enemy Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future? As social media detectives have quickly discovered, Spicer has been waging a quiet, one-sided Twitter feud with the flash-frozen spherical treat. It started in 2010 when Spicer, still a year out from taking his previous post as communications director for the RNC, tweeted out, "Dippin' Dots is not, capital letters, the ice cream of the future."
Amen.
A blatantly incendiary claim that flew in the face of the company's long-cherished slogan. It's not clear what provoked Spicer's attack, a bad trip to the zoo maybe, or perhaps Six Flags, but it was still sticking to his craw, sticking in his craw a year later, which I think Pat had surgically removed.
Yes, I did.
When he doubled down on the bold claim, "I think I've said this before, but Dippin' Dots are not the ice cream of the future." Dippin' Dots, the self-described ice cream of the future, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection after fighting off foreclosure efforts by Regions Bank for more than a year. It is to Spicer's credit, though, that he didn't content himself with mere opinions on the matter of Dippin' Dots versus the future. And where would Gorsuch stand on that one? We don't know. A month later, he supplied evidence linking to the Wall Street Journal article about the company's financial woes. His foe apparently slain, Spicer laid down his sword and got back to much more important work of attacking Barack Obama for every conceivable thing he ever did. And for a time, there was peace. But then Dippin' Dots wandered foolishly back into Spicer's crosshairs in 2015 by failing to ship enough vanilla-flavored ice cream to a Washington Nationals game that he was at. Within moments, the old fires were raging again. If Dippin' Dots was truly the ice cream of the future, they would not have run out of vanilla at the Nationals game.
Okay, I've completely turned around on this guy.
I love this guy.
It's really fun.
Anybody who has a war against Dippin' Dots, I'm in.
Really funny.
Yeah, it makes me forget all the things like, you're lying to the press.
By the way, Dippin' Dots has responded. Yes. And they
have they?
Yes, they finally have realized that, and they said they want to be friends with Mr. Spicer.
I have never had Dippin' Dots before. Have you ever had it?
No.
I have. I will say the weirdest, I mean, you know, it tastes all right. I mean, I don't think it is the ice cream of the future, first of all. I would agree. The worst part about it is, and it's funny, where I had this was at the zoo, because my kids wanted something at the zoo. We were at the zoo, the worst part about it is, especially in Texas heat, when it melts, you realize you should not have eaten it. It like turns into this weird like brown liquid when it melts.
Really?
It just is not.
Well, kind of like a milkshake?
No. No. Like, no. Really?
Listen,
no.
He was like this.
No.
That was one of the most stern no's. Like no. That was a warning.
Stop
that
it.
Was no. Like,
no. Don't demean this right. Point. No, it was more like a toxic, toxic river. It's much more liquidy. It's not like cream because it's the ice cream of the future. It's made out of something else. I don't know, but it looks like something that spills out of your car when your garage is parked there.
So I've never had them because they always look to me like those little styrofoam BBs that you get. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
They're not
and I
creamy,
like the creaminess.
Not, yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I can believe that you've never had them since they usually just sell at, you know, sporting events, at ballparks.
Yeah.
But
zoos.
And zoos.
Like
zoos
the
kids
zoos,
love them at the zoos.
Like the zoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not my favorite treat, I would say. I mean, of course, I would eat them because, you know, I'm fat.
So if Dippin' Dots sent us a case of Dippin' Dots to try.
Oh, I would.
You would absolutely eat them.
Yes, because I'm weak and pathetic.
Yeah,
but yes, I would say the future does not seem to be defined by Dippin' Dots. As a general statement, I think we can agree on that.
I think we can. I stand by Spicer on his Dippin' Dots.
It's his best moment so far in the administration, I will say.
It is. Okay, sponsor this half hour is Mercury Real Estate. If you want your home sold on time and for the most money without all sorts of excuses, there is a way for you to do it. We started Real Estate Agents I Trust to help this audience find a great real estate agent in your town. We started this about 3 years ago now, and we didn't tell you about it for the first probably 18 months because we wanted to work out all the kinks. We wanted to know that we had the right agents and things were right. When we started getting letters from the people that had sold their houses through Mercury Real Estate and telling us stories about how different their experience was with our real estate agents, we knew we had it right and we were ready for you to know about it. We have 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you, and their bond is their word. They've joined us because they listen to the show and they appreciate the principles and values, and honestly, they don't want to screw around with people either. I have heard this from so many clients that say, when a Glenn Beck listener calls us or is in touch, we know we have somebody who is just not interested in screwing around and just wants a fair deal and wants to get the job done. Our agents are fully vetted. They're handpicked by my team for their knowledge, their skill, and their track record. Thousands of families have already done this. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Put them to the test. The results are truly remarkable. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Already helped families who are moving to another area, families who are taking care of their parents remotely, or just helping families get the most for their home as quickly as possible. Go now to realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep, and I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine. And they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Such a scatterbrain, dude. None of us can remember. I started the question. We said that we would give him a fair shake. Yeah. And not looking to the past, not looking to the future, just looking right now. Did I ever finish that, go around the room and
you and Pat answered it, I believe. And then we kind of got off on a tangent.
Okay. So I'm feeling pretty good except for those things. How are you feeling?
Pretty good.
He's exceeded my expectations so far.
Well, you had no expectations.
I don't know why the need to point that out. But I mean, seriously, there's been, you know, I think it's been a mixed bag. I'm not thrilled, I'm thrilled with some of the things. I think what's interesting about Trump and watching him go through this is he's sort of a, you know, jam your foot on the gas guy. And when it connects with something you like, he's amazing. For example, so far on the EPA and those related issues, energy, EPA, he's been, I think, very good.
He's about to he's about to open the Keystone oil pipeline.
Yeah, and the Dakota one as well.
Yeah.
His EPA chief pick, I think, was very solid. He's been very good on those things. And because that's an issue I'm passionate about, I really like it. I'm also passionate about free trade, and I don't agree with him on that. And his stances there are going to be problematic for me. You know, the Flynn appointment is a disaster to me. I mean, it's really bad. And that one, I think, is really problematic. Thanks. But I would say overall, you know, speaking generally, I think he's certainly exceeded my expectations. And I think a lot of the picks have been really good. not just kind of good, not just, okay, well, that's acceptable from a Republican president. Actually, beyond that, because he doesn't seem to care, which is great. However, on the issues I don't agree with him on, it's gonna hurt a lot. I think there's gonna, you know, if we see this sort of dynamic where there's really good things and really bad things, as long as the bad isn't too bad, it's gonna be better than I expected. And I hope that's the case. I hope it continues. One of the things we talked about yesterday on Pat and Stu is how stupid this protest was by the left. Think about this. You have a guy who in the campaign asked for $680 billion for federal funding of maternity leave. Mm-hmm. He values his daughter, Ivanka, seemingly more than any person on the planet and trusts her judgment and embraces it. So now you set up a dynamic. Instead of working with him to try to get those things done, which no other Republican would do for you, you go out there and oppose him and just piss him off. And the way Trump seems to react to things like that is, yeah. Oh, you thought you're getting that? No way. He will step back and build a wall around himself and say, screw you. You're going to go out there and protest me with 3 million people? Screw you. You're never getting any of those things now. That's a terrible tactic, but it could
unless you're
him.
Playing for long-term discord.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
Welcome to the program. I guess we should look at the regulations and wrap up the Obama administration with a look at some of the craziest things that they did. For instance, removing he and she from all regulations to avoid gender norms. They actually took the time to do all that.
That's an important step.
No, it was.
Gender normity.
The Department of Transportation authorized pigs to fly as emotional support animals in 2012.
Well, that was good if you need it.
Yeah.
Right.
If you have a pet pig that's a
right.
comfort
to you. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Rules were intended to eliminate discrimination against disabled persons when they fly, and the official guidance okayed potbelly pigs weighing up to 300 pounds to come on the airplane with you.
Well, that's a potbelly pig.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How comfortable are you?
Because it'd be ridiculous for a 400-pound potbelly
yeah.
pig to get
right.
on.
How comfortable are you with a 300-pound pig?
Why are you looking at me?
Let's see. One major regulation from Obamacare was adding calorie requirements to menus and restaurants, but defining what constitutes a menu was not easy. The rules were blasted as impossible to comply with and carried criminal penalties for not labeling food correctly, estimated cost the industry $1.7 billion. The regulation was so specific that it announced that seasonal pumpkin spice muffins would have to be labeled, but not crushed dried peppers, which are considered a condiment that is exempt. Definition for menu reached 171 words. The definition of a menu reached 171 words. Final regulation applied to things that are not on menus, such as advertisements and coupons.
And also, a thing, having calories on menus has been shown in study after study that it doesn't actually do anything. In fact, it does.
Makes it worse.
The Pat Gray principle
right.
is that it actually makes people eat more.
Show me two things of, you know, like equal desire. And one of them has more calories than the other.
That's
I'm going
be
for the one with more calories.
That's got to be better, right?
Obviously more delicious.
Yes.
It's a,
honestly, I look at those right. menus and I, you know, when it gets around 1800 calories and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to have that.
And there is some theoretical limit.
Right. But there are some that you're like, oh, I thought it was much worse than that. And you end up having it.
Yeah. I mean,
only 700 calories. Oh, I thought it was an easy 1200.
I was at a restaurant. I actually like that they're on the menus.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I just don't like that it's a federal regulation.
Me too.
But I was at a restaurant the other day, and I was like, I should get something healthy, like a salad or something. And I wanted to get a pizza. And then I looked at the calories on the menu, and the salad was like 910 calories, and the pizza was like 670.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait
a minute.
The
salad was more than the pizza?
Yeah, the salad was more than the pizza.
So I want to go find that menu. I'm going to eat there every day.
Right, like I the pizza. You're going with it. I wanted the pizza, and the calories on the menu convinced me I should get the pizza. So Obama's regulation actually made me buy pizza.
Yeah, my only problem with this really, honestly, is that it's mandated.
Yes, I would like it if every restaurant did it on their own, mm-hmm. but it should not be a federal regulation.
Correct.
It's horrible.
Another mandate. They mandated that businesses allow miniature horses as guide animals.
Thank God. Finally. How long have we been pushing
for
this?
So the potbelly pig
and miniature
the miniature horse.
The miniature horses as guide animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, in New York or Chicago or even Dallas, how many miniature horses do you see guiding blind people around?
A thousand
downtown.
I see it all the time.
Four times yesterday.
So
yesterday alone.
It was finalized. The government included a provision that store owners should let miniature horses in if they are used as guide animals.
Yeah, that was the problem.
Obviously,
that was the problem. People.
So you
just use my guide horse. Get out! Come on.
You're gonna have a guide horse in a grocery store?
How many guide horses?
No, wait a minute. Hang on just a second.
Of course. Why not?
Hold
you let a dog
hold
in.
On. Ponies and full-size horses are not covered in restaurants.
Okay.
Thank God.
But guide horses, the miniature guide
like
horses
Shetland
are.
Like a Shetland pony, right? Wouldn't a miniature
Shetland pony, maybe. But I don't think a Shetland pony would be.
They're
That's
still
a pony.
Horses. They poop all over the place.
No, they're mini horses.
Don't.
If a miniature horse has been individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of the individual with a disability, then that horse must be covered by the ADA.
I will say that's incredible. I had no idea that this is actually a real thing, and I'm seeing lots of pictures of it.
That's great.
The Guide Horse Foundation says there are, quote, thousands.
The Guide Horse Foundation.
Which I don't know, you know, that's a pretty wide amount. It could be 2,000.
I saw a heartlifting story about a lady that... couldn't survive without her
guide horse.
And it was the horse travels with her everywhere,
like on a plane
driving in cabs and cars. I mean, it's good that there's regulations to help her.
Well, the horse fits in a cab.
Yeah, it's a miniature little horse.
It's a small horse, Pat.
It's not the Lone Ranger riding
than
down
like
the street.
It's still bigger than a massive big dog, right?
It's just a big dog.
It's a dog, yeah. I would say it's about the size of a big dog.
Size of a greyhound, maybe?
No. Greyhounds aren't that big. But like a mastiff? Is it as big as a mastiff?
No, I would say it's smaller than a mastiff.
Yeah, it's probably the size of...
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
I mean,
like
some of them are pretty small.
Yeah. Wow, they're only that big?
Yeah, some of them are pretty darn small. They're about the size of an average dog, like, you know, a golden retriever.
Oh, well, then I don't have a problem with the clippity... the clippity clop in the kitchen.
Do you want some of the? Do you want some of the benefits of having a guide horse?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I do.
Long lifespan.
Thank you.
They can live to be more than 50 years old.
You're kidding me.
So you don't have to.
A horse.
Yeah. You know, dogs are only 8 to 12 years.
Yeah.
Cost effective. Training a guide dog can cost up to $60,000.
Yes, they can.
as you would know.
Well, dogs are smarter than horses, though.
Only they're yeah. And so
I guess that's not true.
I saw a movie just the other day.
I saw The Magnificent Seven the other day, and Denzel Washington looked at the horse and said, "Get out of here," and the horse did.
Wow.
That's a special horse, though.
Yeah.
Based on Obama's legislation, this is interesting that this is here, because one of the arguments for a guide horse is better acceptance. Many guide dog users report problems getting access to public places because their dog is perceived as a pet.
Okay.
Most people do not associate a horse as a pet, and guide horse users report that they are immediately recognized as a working service animal. Because you're not just walking your head.
Can I tell you something? I walk into any place I walk into an airport with a horse. I'm kind of glad that I may be blind, so I don't see people looking at me like, what the hell is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the first response of the concierge at at the Ritz-Carlton is going to be saying, oh, it's a guide horse. I think he looks at you and says, what the hell are you doing with a horse in here? And I think that happens at the Ritz-Carlton or the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And maybe the Holiday Inn faster than the Ritz-Carlton.
Mm-hmm. I will say one real benefit of the guide horse appears to be that they wear sneakers. That's pretty awesome.
So the clippity-clop is gone.
Right.
Excuse me. I can't take the news of the day anymore. Miniature horses used as guide dogs.
Wearing sneakers.
Wearing sneakers. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're guide animals. They're not pretending to be a dog.
No, yes, true. That's an important distinction, Jeffy. They are not pretending. They're not dressed as dogs.
Isn't that a miniature horse? No, it's a dog.
They don't come from the dog side of town. They are horses.
Dog side of town. Right. They're not half breeds.
No.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Excellent vision, great memory, calm nature, focused demeanor.
I want one of these.
Safety conscious, high stamina, and good manners. They say please and thank you, which is nice.
Do they still poop piles in the house?
Guide horses are very clean and can be housebroken. Horses do not get fleas and only shed twice per year. Horses are not addicted to human affection and will stand quietly while on duty. That's sad.
It really is.
So will a trained dog, though. No. The service dogs are pretty good about that.
No, yeah, not if you show them affection. They want your affection.
Yeah.
Like German Shepherds, that's your family.
For whatever reason, when you spoke German to your dog and said, Plots! It plots, dude.
Whenever anyone speaks German to somebody in the right tone, you do what they say.
That's a good point.
All right, some of the other regulations. Regulating Christmas lights. To extend their hand to Christmas lights, the Consumer Product Safety Commission regulated that Christmas decorations are a substantial product hazard if they didn't meet the government's standard for wire size. The final rule applies to stars, wreaths, candles without shades, light sculptures, blow-molded plastic figures, and animated figures, but not any solar-powered products. Let's see. Navy inspected bathrooms for degrading images of women. Military is not exempt. Under orders from the then Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel, Navy had to search sailors' workspaces to make sure they didn't have pinup calendars that could be degrading or offensive to women.
No, wouldn't want that.
Bathrooms were inspected for any unprofessional calendars. In 2014, the Obama administration regulated the methane emissions from the dairy industry by 25%. It targeted
we talked about that.
Cow flatulence.
Mm.
California followed suit last year, comparing himself to Noah from the Bible. Governor Jerry Brown announced new regulations that regulate cow farts that dramatically reduce methane emissions by 2030.
Are the cows abiding by this new regulation?
I'm not really sure. How do you do that other than killing the cows?
I don't know.
Maybe what you feed them.
Yeah, what you feed them.
If you feed them certain things, that wouldn't result in
pork and beans for the cows?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much they're eating like alfalfa and hay. They're eating grass.
Obviously pork and beans.
But I mean, what are we feeding cows that give them the flatulence?
Well, grain, right? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. What do they eat?
You don't feed them grain. You feed them alfalfa and hay. That's what they eat. They have flat teeth. So they
diet alfalfa and hay? I mean, I don't know. Low-cal?
Gluten-free?
Gluten-free, yes. Right. They need a gluten-free diet. Right. That solves
and
all problems.
Yeah. And yeah, alfalfa zero and, of course, dairy-free as well. Here's our sponsor this half hour. It's American Financing. Salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing are tasked with helping you make a smart mortgage decision that aligns with your financial goals. So they're not sitting here getting paid by the bank if they sell that particular bank's instrument, that particular bank's mortgage. That's what happens with most places where you're going to buy a mortgage. They get perks and a commission for selling a certain loan instrument to you. That doesn't work out necessarily in your favor. American Financing is family-owned and operated, been business since 1999, and they have salary-based mortgage consultants. Nobody is on a commission. So whether you're looking to buy or refi, American Financing will make your mortgage experience straightforward and effortless. You can pre-qualify in 10 minutes and close in as fast as 10 days, and they'll customize a loan program that fits your financial needs. I want you to pick up the phone if you're thinking about refinancing or you want to purchase your home. Call 866-750-6551. Refinance, purchase your home loan. 866-750-6551. Or you can go online right now at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. The fusion of entertainment. And enlightenment.
Because we are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So, we need to get a miniature horse in here.
Right?
A trained miniature horse. One that's potty trained.
Well, yeah, well, sounds it's rational. A service animal. I mean, well, they're already trained.
They can lay down over there by the fireplace or stand.
I don't think
stand.
The horses lay down. You know, yeah, they just stand.
No, something's wrong if they lay down, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've seen horses lay down.
Yeah.
Not on their side. Yeah. They just kind of.
No, something's wrong with them when they lay down. They
really?
Don't normally. Yeah, they sleep
maybe that's why
up.
They keep dying on me.
I think so.
Yeah. So this is a lifetime goal to get a.
No, I'm just curious. Maybe we can get a potbelly pig in here, too.
Get them all in here. Let's get a dog. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, horse.
I honestly would love to see a miniature horse guide dog. A horse, guide horse. Whatever they are.
Pretty cool.
It would be. Would be. Somebody who... Do they have the little blind handle things on them? So you
they
know,
must.
They must.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A guy I know has a pig as a pet. I live
service
in Texas.
Service animal?
No, not a service animal. Just a pet. It's a pig, and apparently good temperament, very nice, a little messy, at least early on in life.
It's a pig.
Yes. Yeah. So apparently the review is a little messy, potentially getting into biting furniture and things of that nature.
That's not a terrible pig. Surprise, is it?
No. It didn't
really?
Stun me.
No.
It's the reason I don't have a pig as
right.
a pet.
And they, I mean, like pig farms make dairy farms smell wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Man.
How bad is the pig stool?
Smell.
You know, I didn't get into detail on that with him.
Well, I mean, that's
right.
That's where I go right off the bat. I mean, the horse would be cool, but he's pooping in the house.
There was apparently a lot of that. I will say he
pig
noted,
poop in the house?
I didn't notice. I didn't actually get any of these sort of, you know, the levels of smell with him, but he did say there was a lot of going in the house.
Oh, no, I couldn't do it. Couldn't
no
do it.
Way.
No, couldn't do it.
I mean, I guess that was part of the problem, right? I don't know why you'd want a pig as a pet, but I guess a lot of people really love
him. You got a house train him. It takes a little time.
That's like you, Jeffy.
No, I'm not.
It took a little time. But once I got there, Stu.
Or when you get there.
I mean, I will tell you that we used to have a bunny rabbit when I was a kid, and we house trained the bunny rabbit. I don't know how we did it, but we house trained the bunny rabbit. And I used to love having a little bunny hopping around, but there's a difference between a bunny and a pig.
A
bunny is
kind of
like, okay, but that's kind of cute. The pig is like you're living with a pig running around the house. Right?